Raven's back from vacation.
Yay!
Missed you.
Thanks.
So, how was it? I know that you were so excited about Star Wars at Disney World and that you went with your wife, Alicia.
Yeah.
And when you were telling me your plans, they seemed overzealous. But you seem so confident.
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, obviously you're a more frequent Disney traveler at this point. You've been there more recently. You've got small children. So, you know, the things that you're tuned into, you understand the ins and outs of. My wife and I, we haven't been there in decades, really. My wife hasn't been there in something like 15 years. I haven't been there since over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And the last time I went there, I was in no condition to remember anything.
Okay.
So we made some rookie mistakes when we got there. But overall, incredible trip. Had a really, really, really good time. The first mistake that we made, though, is that getting off the plane, we thought it would be a great idea to hop right into a vehicle and then drive directly to the amusement park. And we figured there'd be no problem whatsoever to that. And of course, there was.
Of course, there was.
So, you know, rental cars, I know it's a big deal right now to get your rental car. You know, the prices were crazy. And then, oh, you hear the horror story, you show up and it's not there or whatever. I made three separate reservations for rental cars, three separate reservations. And each time I spoke to an actual human being on the phone and they assured me it would be all set, including the fact that I went through the steps to make sure that I'd be able to step right off the plane, grab my baggage, walk right out to the rental kiosk, hop right in the vehicle and drive away. And because of that, I would be able to make Star Wars on time.
Make-believe world. Yeah. Never even leave to listen.
That's the thing is, I guess, even after all those phone calls and the money spent, that it was make-believe world. Because, in fact, when we got to the counter, my name was tops on the list and it said C agent. And then the gentleman had to go on the computer system for something like 30 to 40 minutes there to sign me in. Which, you know, here's the thing. I love saving money, Anna.
Yeah.
But at some point, $40 is not worth any time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're on vacation, $40 is not worth 5 minutes of your time if you have a reservation to get somewhere, let alone 40 minutes. Then finally, the car is not there. Once we finally get the right rate and they give the paperwork, the gentleman, Jose, gets out of the rental area, goes to turn around to the back of the thing and goes, wait a minute, where's my convertible? By the way, renting a convertible in Florida, the worst idea whatsoever. Understand now that people don't rent convertibles in hot climates anywhere because it's completely uncomfortable. And if your wife has more than one checked bag, it's going to be nearly impossible to fit everything in there.
Yep.
They finally locate a convertible. Again, now we're taking like 40, 45 minutes into it. Simultaneously as this is happening, I am missing my Rise of the Rebellion queue, the virtual queue.
That is the most important ride to go on at Disney World
100%,
for Star Wars fans.
100%.
Why would
the ride
possibly,
I was supposed to be there for.
Why would you possibly sign yourself up for that when you were arriving at the same time? You thought you were magically going to snap your fingers in Orlando and then just appear
Flight
in Disney World?
Landed at 12:05, park 18 minutes from the airport.
Oh, yeah.
18 minutes. You just have to be within a certain range to get in the virtual queue.
Right.
Guess what? The airport is not in that range.
No.
And thanks to Jose, I did not make it there on time.
Oh.
The car finally does arrive. They locate a convertible, by the way. Nobody knows how to operate it. The language is set to Spanish, and nobody can get the top to go down anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do over 50 miles per hour, it shakes violently.
All right. So you thought you were Darth Vader. That's what you thought. You thought that magically you could make things happen.
I would fly from one thing to the next.
Yep. Didn't work out that way.
Didn't work out that way at all, but lesson learned.
So last night was the Met Gala, and there was one phrase that every news media outlet, a billion tweets, and every live interview kept repeating over and over, and it was a blatant lie, Raven.
What was that?
I understood the assignment. I understood the assignment.
Everybody apparently understood the assignment.
Okay.
Oh, she understood the assignment. Mm-hmm. He understood the assignment.
Okay.
Here, newsflash, nobody understands the assignment.
So wait a minute. I'm just guessing that the assignment was to look fantastic, to be fierce.
So when you go to a themed costume party, right?
Okay, right.
Like you got like an invitation and it says pirate costume party.
Right.
What do you dress like?
I would dress as a pirate.
Yes.
Ahoy! Ahoy!
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every year they have this Met Gala, and it's to support the Costume Institute, and it's done by Anna Wintour.
Need a lot of support. The Costume Institute, a lot of support.
Tickets are $35,000 each.
Oh my gosh!
Right, we're never going.
How much support could the Costume Institute really need? Oh my gosh!
Clearly a lot.
I mean, are they saving costumes?
But they have a theme every single year, and this is what drives me crazy. They come up with this elaborate theme.
Yes.
And then none of the what the celebrities are wearing actually matches it. And I don't know. I guess it's open for interpretation.
To be fair, are the themes dumb?
I'm going to let you describe what these celebrities are wearing.
Okay.
And then you tell me if you can guess what this year's theme is.
You've sent me a bunch of photos here. Where would you like me to start?
First of all, I'm going to retweet these at Anna and Raven so you can see them for yourself if you missed it.
Uh-huh.
Let's start with Pete Davidson.
He's kind of the guy of the moment, right? He's moving up here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got some strange skirt thing. He's got one striped sock versus another striped sock or a non-striped sock. It's, they look like dark. Are these Doc Birkenstocks? What do they call them? I don't know. And a white coat. And then like a father's neck almost.
He looks like a retro nun.
It's like the guy who's, you know, hanging out at your daughter's private school and you go to security. Is that here to kidnap somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he's that two-stone professor.
Let's move on to Kim Kardashian.
Yes.
Describe Kim Kardashian.
She's wearing all black head to toe, including her entire face. And I just don't know how she's not able to not walk into a wall. She looks like a confused movie screen.
Yep. It's a completely like a black mesh completely covering every inch of her body.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't even
know
it's
her. She's escaping from Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber's pants. Let's talk about Justin Bieber's pants.
Now, I've got to say, here's the thing. I've seen Bieber before and he's looked worse, all right? His hair looks nice. He looks like he's wearing tuxedo pajama pants, though. You know what I mean? He's like, where's my tuxedo pajama pants, boo? Haley looks fantastic.
He's wearing culottes. Let's call them what they are.
What is that called?
Culottes.
What's a culotte?
Culottes are those weird long pants that look like a dress, but they're pants.
Is that what those are?
How about Jennifer Lopez?
Now this actually is fantastic here. Mm-hmm. This is J-Lo looks like a tiger in the jungle. And you've just, you know, parted the grass here and poked your head around and immediately know that you're in a space where the hunter has become the hunted.
Okay.
Woo, J-Lo. Oh, man.
All right. If you had a guess based on those celebrities only, what was the theme of last night's Met Gala?
I have no idea. I got to be honest. Trying to survive a safari tour to get to church?
No. It was In America, a Lexicon of Fashion. And when I think America... I think red, white, and blue, dressed like the Statue of Liberty, maybe some stars, spurs, a cowboy hat, something like that. No, that's what they wore. And you want to know what everyone kept saying?
I understood the assignment.
No, you didn't understand the assignment, because that's not what I would wear to an American-themed costume party.
They should change whatever the assignment was to whatever J-Lo was wearing.
Okay.
Whoa!
Yep. Did you ever do something in an Uber that required you to leave an extra big tip because you were so embarrassed? 1-800-330-9999. I was at a wedding, Raven, and for some reason, I'm always the last person left. Like, I don't know why. I have no idea why I'm always the last person.
Are you one of those people that walks around and goes, do you need any help? What? Do you need any help?
No.
No?
I guess I offer.
Make a quick getaway. Do you think that there's going to be something left over at the end of the night? Like, I'm going to take these 7 centerpieces. I really love what you did with this vase.
I am the person that takes a centerpiece.
Are you?
I love it. I love flowers.
What are you going to do with that in your house?
They're so expensive. They're going to go to waste if they... Anyway, long story short, I'm the last person at this wedding.
Yeah.
And I order the Uber and it's taking forever to come. So me and my husband are there. And now we're outside with literally... the bride's parents.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's so awkward.
I know. But they're nice people.
Yes, of course they're nice people, but you're like the drunken friends.
And they have the easel in their hands. Like they have like the big sign, like, you know, when you walk in, like they put these signs up on the easels now saying so and so's wedding, Mike and Tori's wedding. And I go, oh my gosh, that's so funny. I didn't mean it for them to give it to me, but I said, I'm just about to buy an easel for a shower that I'm hosting. And her mom is like, no, Anna, take it. We don't need this easel anymore.
What are we ever going to use an easel for again in our lives?
And it's one of those things where like, okay, because they're expensive. And if I can save the money, why not? But now the Uber pulls up and it's a Prius.
Yeah.
And it is tight.
Yeah.
And I get
it. It's
in
a large easel.
A large easel.
Yeah.
So we have to roll down the windows on both sides. With the easel coming out of both ends. And the guy is real cool about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's like, I got power windows. Why not?
It's a 30-minute drive back to our hotel.
Oh, my gosh.
And it starts pouring rain.
Oh, my gosh.
True story. And it's coming in, and I'm like, what are we going to do? I go, should we abandon the easel?
Right, throw it out the window. Leave it on the side of the road.
My husband is giving me the death stare. He's like, are you serious right now?
He wants the easel.
No.
No, he wants to throw it out.
He can't believe I even brought it into the Uber.
Right.
But the guy is so nice. He's like, ma'am, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's fine. So we get there. I go, I got to overtip this guy. I literally have soaked his Prius.
Yeah.
And I like it.
His sweet, sweet Prius. You know those people love those cars too.
I know. And then I couldn't figure out how much to tip him. So I gave him an extra $20. And I don't know if that was enough. I feel like that enough?
No, that feels pretty good.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, it is just water, right? I mean, I don't know the acid rain content in that area. So it seems like you were probably all right with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes.
Yes, it definitely does.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you have to overtip the Uber driver?
So my friend gets so fired up when we're in an Uber and running late to dinner. So he started paying the Uber driver in cash while we were on the way to go faster, right? That's 100% illegal and very scary, but the guy did it. The driver did it. I was shocked.
Oh, I'll always tip a guy a little bit more if he's willing to go faster.
But that's not.
You've never hopped in a cab before and said, I got to get there quick and thrown more money at the guy?
No. I 100% never done that.
Oh, I've done that like 60% of the time I got in a cab.
I mean,
okay. That
happens like in movies, not in the real life.
Oh, no. Have you ever seen Amazing Race? They're always like, we're in a race right now for $1 million. Always. And the guy like always drives faster.
Yeah, but on TV, not in real life.
I mean, that's a reality show.
When did you have to overtip your Uber driver? 1-800-330-9999.
I had a time, Anna, where I took the wrong bus in Cancun, and I literally went to the end of the bus line in the middle of what was really only could be described as the desert to me, okay. To somebody who doesn't know. It was like 12 or 1 in the morning. The bus driver gave zero cares. I was like, wait a minute, you can't leave us here. He's like, nah, not my problem. Hopped out of the car. Standing there for about 5 minutes, ready to break into a convenience store in the corner because, you know, again, we're standing in the middle of nowhere. And thankfully, a car came charging along. It was a taxi, but also had an Uber Lyft sign in it. And I bribed that guy. He was off duty.
Yeah.
But I said, listen, I'll give you X amount if you take us back to Cancun. And he did. And I ended up giving that guy every dollar I had in my pocket. We were 45 minutes out of the hotel zone.
Wow.
45 minutes. The guy saved mine and my wife's life.
Every dollar you had was six?
No, it was Cancun, not Vegas. So I still had quite a bit of money left. But I gave that guy every dollar I had. And it was money well spent, man. I mean, he saved our lives.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you have to overtip your Uber driver?
Crazy things happen in Mexico.
My car was in the shop and my puppy had a vet appointment. He's always really good in the car, so I figured it wasn't going to be a big deal. And on the way over, there was no problem. But on the way back, he must have freaked out because he just went to the bathroom right on the seat.
Oh, no.
Horrific.
That's the worst.
I didn't even know you could bring animals into Ubers.
I think you have to usually tell them.
Mm.
But, I mean, you know, you're picking somebody up at a vet's office. You got to figure that there's a good chance they got an animal with them. Or they went in with one and they didn't come out with one. That would be even sadder.
How much do you tip for that?
I tipped like $70 because honestly, it's like it's going to make your car smell. You're not going to be able to work for the rest of the day because you're going to have to go take the car out to get it cleaned and Febreze it. Like, I realize it's a lot of money.
$70 seems fair.
That was nice of you. Yeah, it was nice of you.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Why did you overtip your Uber?
Yeah, my Uber was taking me home after I drank too much and I fell asleep in his car. The guy was literally shaking me to wake me up. But I gave him $20 because I felt so stupid.
That's a good one. That's money well earned. I mean, it could be worse. I mean, you're stinky in the car, I'm sure, but at least you didn't throw up.
Is $20 enough to be shaken awake?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? He could have made some other stops, ran some errands while you were in the back there. Who knows? Let that tab run up a few more minutes. Why not?
He could have foobarred you, drawn in your face,
yeah.
All that stuff.
Anything's possible.
Yeah.
I got home safe and there was nothing drawn on my face.
So that's worth $20. Right. That's worth the 20 spot. You're right.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Why did you overtip your Uber?
I know it's lame, but I always tip if they let me use their phone chargers. One Lyft driver gave me a bottle of water, and I overtipped him, too.
I remember when they first came out with Uber and Lyft, it was like they all had the extra chargers, mm-hmm. right? Now I never see it. I always have to ask, and I'm always embarrassed to ask.
Well, because I mean, not for nothing. They've been having a hard go. People are ripping them off.
Yeah.
Randomly punching them in the back of the head. I mean, things are crazy.
I guess. But I certainly think I would give extra if they had a bottle of water and an available phone charger.
And people were nice when they would get in the car before, too. You know, that's the thing. Now, I mean, they'll just snag your charger. See you later.
Oh, terrible.
It is.
What do you do when your kid swears? Do you laugh? Do you brush it off? Do you put him in timeout? Dr. Joe Shippa, child psychologist. Dr. Joe, it's funny because I was away and my best friend's 3-year-old daughter, and I'm not going to throw her under the bus because she's the most beautiful little precious thing in the world. She would always whisper to me the F word, but she would use it appropriately every single time. And her mom would give me the look like, don't egg her on. And I'm like, how am I not supposed to laugh at that? This is hilarious, you know?
You know, Dr. Joe, I contend that that word is actually used in so many different ways that, I mean, she could be striking out. She could have no idea whether or not she's using it correctly, but we as adults go, well, wait, it does kind of work there.
No, she used it appropriately many, many times over the course of the week that we are away.
But does that make it okay?
Yeah, what do you do in a situation like this?
Well, you know, listen, first of all, you know what I'm going to ask. The first question is, so where did she learn?
Oh, she 100% heard it from her mom. I said it to her. I said it to my best friend. I go, she even has the same inflection like you have when you say it. I go, it's amazing.
Yeah, so that really is at the crux of this. You know, number one, that she and I'm not looking, by the way, I'm not playing the holier-than-thou card here. I don't want your friend to think that, oh, you know, I'm, as the psychologist, I'm admonishing her. I'm not doing that. We are adults. This has been a particularly rough year. We say things, but we're adults, and we can say those things. So, you know, her daughter is, did you say she's 3?
Yes, 3.
Yeah, so at 3 years old, really, they are still learning language, and they pick up new words, and they pick up words that even though she may be using them appropriately, that still may be that she is using them appropriately because she hears the adult in her life, her mom in this case, using them in a particular context. She probably doesn't really know what it is. I would hope not at 3, but if her mom is even giving her attention for it, even if she says, oh, don't, you know, do this, she may be smiling at her. She may be rolling her eyes. She may be just, you know, chuckling a little bit. And that's enough positive reinforcement for her daughter to continue to do it. But she probably doesn't really know what that word is.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's kids. They know when they're funny, right? Mm-hmm. And they know when they get a reaction,
oh, yeah.
Too.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because she
and
knows.
Is, and
yeah.
That is one of the reasons. Yeah, that is one of the reasons, you know, for young kids, they do it to get attention. They do it to try out new words. They do it to copy people. They do it to get your reaction. And they do it also, you know, they use words like this when they're frustrated or they're trying to express a feeling, especially when they're really young, because they don't know how to express negative emotions completely other than throwing a fit or using a word like your friend's door.
So I have to basically bite the inside of my cheeks till they bleed and try not to laugh.
Right.
That's essentially
right.
What
well,
you're
you
telling
can
me.
You can run away.
Oh, that's much
that's
worse.
That's what I told her.
Just
that's what I told
run.
Her. Some highfalutin language around here, maybe some Beethoven or something like that. We've got to elevate this child, not, you know, steep down
right,
to that
right.
level. Come on.
Dr. Joe Shippa, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Be well, you guys.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's so funny how trees can destroy your neighborhood, right?
Wait a minute.
All you have
trees?
To do, trees. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Call or text. I'm looking at our text line.
Mm.
If you have a beautiful, natural tree-lined property that gives you privacy and you cut all those trees down and you're now your life is in a fishbowl, that's all I need to know about you. People are always so divided when it comes to trees
mm-hmm.
in the
reasons to keep them, the reasons
cut
to get
them
rid of them, what is suffices in each one of those categories. Yes, you're right about that.
So we have a tree that it divides our property. Mm-hmm. It is a massive dead tree. I have asked a million times that we got to take this tree down. And
because it looms over your house.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a large tree looming over your home.
Right. It scares the heck out of me. Every time there's any kind of storm,
sure.
I already had a branch come through my kitchen roof. Like, it's a scary thing.
Right.
But you're talking thousands and thousands of dollars to take it down. So we've approached our neighbor many times about splitting the cost with us to get it taken down. It's right down our property line.
Mm-hmm.
And they refuse. They absolutely refuse. There's like no more branches on our side. It's all on their side.
Yeah.
But the wrong wind, it's going to be on top of our house.
Yeah, yeah.
The last storm that we had, one of our other trees that's perfectly healthy and fine, a branch flew off our tree and took down their power lines. And all I can
feel
think
like you've
about,
been waiting to share this with me because you know that I've been in this story from the beginning.
And it's just, it was a little bit of karma.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Little kismet.
Right. But it's funny how like trees really like divide a neighborhood. People always have opinions on them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. We've cut down all of them in my yard and yet we still have more leaves than any neighbor ever possible. And it's not like I hate the planet Earth. It's just, you know, the way that it worked out. If you use your other hand to lean against the wall while you're using the urinal in a men's room, that's all I need to know about you. There is no situation where this is acceptable, gentlemen. I don't care if you've been drinking all day. I don't care if you're tired, your back hurts or whatever. That wall's disgusting, sir. Do not touch that wall. Do not lean against that wall. Certainly do not lean against that wall and groan while you urinate.
Oh.
If it's that much of a process to use the bathroom, sir, you need to go to the doctor now.
Okay.
Now.
I don't want to paint that picture in my head.
I painted it for you.
Oh,
it
it's
smells
right there.
Terrible. All you can smell is those terrible.
No.
Whatever that scent is in the men's room.
Okay.
And they're leaning against.
Don't touch anything in the bathroom.
I mean, you better, if the standard is 20 seconds now, you better wash your hand for 45 seconds after that.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
As a mom, I'm constantly screaming in the bathroom, Don't touch anything.
Learn to hover.
1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. So this here says that most Americans cannot do 10 push-ups.
Mm.
It says 53% of Americans says they can't complete more than 10 push-ups. And 36% said they can't do more than 5.
Uh-huh. Back in the day, I could do 50 easy without stopping.
It's funny you said 50 because 12% of people say they can do more than 50 push-ups in a row.
I could do 50 in the first set back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably, I'd have to say it'd have to be 6-7 years now since I had actually tried to do that. But push-ups used to be part of my normal daily routine.
I always say quote unquote fitness instructor because I do. I teach fitness classes, but if you saw me, you wouldn't be like, that girl ain't that fit. But I'm pretty strong, honestly.
Sure.
And I teach a lot of boot camp classes, and push-ups are the best exercise for your body.
Mm-hmm.
They really, truly are. When you're working on core, all that, it doesn't put strain on your lower back. But to do them properly, it takes a lot of work. I think people always have to do them and they think that counts, and it doesn't.
Here's the thing. Everybody you talk to, though, has a different opinion of what is a proper push-up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're stiffer here than you are there. You're tighter there than you are here. Everybody has a different routine that they look at and they go, okay, that's a right one. No, you've got to adjust here or whatever. Like, they're push-up snobs. I mean, if you're tight and your core is tight and you're going all the way down and you're coming all the way up, that's close enough for me.
Well, that's a push-up. If you go all the way down and all the way up, mm-hmm. and your arms are out at 90 degrees, that's
here
a push-up.
Here we go.
Your butt's not in the air.
Now comes the degrees.
Okay.
Okay.
6% of people over 65 say they can do over 50 push-ups.
Wow.
That's impressive, right?
That is impressive.
I certainly cannot do 50 push-ups.
No.
And I do push-ups 5 days a week, and I cannot get close to 50.
I don't think I could do 20 in one set right now.
Well, you know what's coming next.
Right.
I mean,
do I have to go for the most, or can I just say 10 and go for 10?
Well, let's see. Let's hit 10, and then let's see how you feel.
Well, I know what you're going to do. As soon as I get down to do it, you're going to start talking about, where's my butt,
mm-hmm.
and where's this, and where's that?
Well, I'm just going to check your form. That's what I, as a fitness instructor professional.
Now you're a professional. Okay.
I'm going to check your form. Hold on. Let me just record this so I can put it on our Instagram.
Perfect.
All right, go ahead.
All right,
let me put this. Let me check your form. Butt down. 1, 2. Breathe it out. Chin up. You got to see. You got to breathe. Chin up. 3, 4, 5, 6. This is impressive. 7, 8. Slowing down a little, but still going strong. 9, 10. Come on. You got 5 more on you.
No,
come on. 5
strong.
More. 5 more. 5 more. 5 more. Come on. 1. 2, breathe it out, breathe it out. 3, 4, 5, chin up, you have to breathe. How many times do you want me to tell you?
Shut up!
All right, you did 15. I think you probably could have done 20 if you really went for it.
Well, I tell you what, stopping in the middle and then restarting, that was a mistake.
Ah.
Do I look like I'm having a heart attack?
A little bit.
I feel like I am.
You're definitely sweating. What are you afraid to drive behind when you're on the highway? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, I'm afraid to drive behind cars that have bike racks now, the ones that are mounted to their trunk. It's a new fear, and it stems from my husband. My husband decided that he and my oldest daughter, Hayden, were going to become avid bikers.
Right.
And we've gone on a bunch of road trips over the summer, and he bought this bike rack. Now, my husband, which you've No, is great at several, many, many things.
Okay.
But you know that he's not really a handyman.
He's not a mechanically inclined individual. He's athletic. He's helpful. He's
Give
smart.
Give him an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He knows all the numbers.
He'll kick that thing's butt.
Yeah, exactly. Right, he knows all about counting.
He's not big on, the tools and stuff like that.
So we're loading up for our first vacation, and he's putting it on, and he looks nervous, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And I go,
I mean, you're going hundreds of miles.
Right.
Don't want to lose the bike. You did already run over the bike the first day that you got it, too.
Right. Well, we got it fixed. We got it fixed now. And I'm looking at the bikes on the back, and it doesn't look steady.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got it. I go, we're going to kill someone.
It's
going to fly off our car when we're traveling 70 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, we've been okay. But because of the uncertainty, and every time we hit a bump, I would grab onto the thing.
You holding on to some strap inside the car would actually hold the bikes to the back of the car.
Right. No.
In a 70 mile per hour wind.
Yep. Right. Good news.
Yeah.
It never flew off.
Wow.
But now, every single time that I am behind a car that has a rack, yeah. I think in my head.
The same type of guy put it together.
And or anyone. Anyone could have done that. It's like a car seat. It's like letting a toddler install their own car seat.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous and you wouldn't do it.
It's inherently a problem. Right. Okay.
So now I've got this new thing that whenever I'm traveling at high speeds and I get behind a car that has a bike rack,
yeah.
I break a sweat. And I have to fly around it at high speeds to get away from it because all I'm thinking about is one of these bikes is going to fly off and go right into my windshield.
I mean, there's not a person on it, so it's probably not going to be the worst thing ever if a bike falls off a bike rack and you run it over again. But, I mean, I guess it could be dangerous at those kind of speeds on the highway. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you afraid to drive behind anything?
Well, I tell you what, when I first got my motorcycle license, I can remember the first time getting on the highway and being passed by a vehicle, like a truck or whatever, and you're terrified. You shake like a leaf. But the most thing now is, if I'm behind, I'll ride behind anything, a motorcyclist, anything like that, but a flatbed truck. You know, the ones that they tow vehicles, but it's not the ones with the ramps. It's not a regular tow truck. It's the one that's got that thing that goes, it goes up and down and it flattens out. Cause I think I saw a movie sometime where somebody got decapitated by one or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I just no matter what, I feel like that's going to happen at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a new fear. Driving behind cars that have bike racks. My husband has a bike rack. Him and my daughter have started biking. And I look at the way he puts it on, and all I think about is, this is dangerous. And I know this is dangerous. Imagine how many of those cars on the highway, somebody half knew how to do it, and they basically duct taped the bike to the back of their car.
I have a friend who transports a kayak, and it's got, two straps to it. And they're like, I don't even know what kind of strap it is. Like nylon? Mm-hmm. Come on, man. That cannot be safe.
1-800-330-9999. When you're traveling at high speeds, what are you immediately afraid when you pull up behind this? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Hi, I'm afraid to drive behind those trucks that carry all those huge logs.
Oh, the logs.
Yes, the logs.
Yeah.
Like Final Destination. Yes. They do that in that movie. And the truth is lumber moving, trucks. They drop loads all the time. It does happen.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it happens.
And they're all coming down. If one log comes down, they're all coming down.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, if that thing shifts at all, yeah, you're doomed. You're totally dead.
Build a cabin right in the middle of the highway.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, it might not even just be you. It could be every car on the highway. You're all in trouble. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're all gone.
And on Raven, what are you afraid to drive behind on the highway?
I'm mostly afraid to drive by pretty much any truck. Big truck with those big wheels, I can't drive past them. I don't know if they're going to lean towards me. It's just scary to me.
You know what's worse?
They could put big wheels on those trucks.
You know what's worse than a truck with a trailer behind it? a truck with two trailers behind it. When they got those trailers
and it's
hooked up to another trailer.
Yeah.
You're like, how's that even possible? It's like a rolling train.
It's like it's illegal. Yeah. Like, who did
that's
that?
That's a locomotive on the highway. What are you doing?
Thank you for the call. And on Raven, what are you afraid to drive behind?
Yeah, hi. I'm afraid to drive behind a flatbed truck. You never know what's going to come off, what's going to come off the back of that truck.
So you mean like the one where the ramp and it tilts and all that, right? And they pull the vehicle up it?
No. The truck with the wood on it. The flatbed with the wood.
Just anything with wood, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
The flatbed with wood on it. So like a pickup truck or a big old truck?
Yeah, anything with wood on it, because you never
anything.
Know when that strap's going to break. Or
that's right.
Wood is unpredictable.
Right. Wood is out for vengeance. I mean, after all, we killed it. Now it's ready to hurt us. Right?
True. And on Raven, what are you afraid to drive behind?
Hi, good morning. I'm actually on I-95 South right now, and there is a truck that has rolled up rugs in just a regular passenger van, and it's door is wide open just with like a rope tied across.
Anytime you see that bungee with the van doors open behind, you know that's a problem.
right. Or the mattress on top of the vehicle and the one arm out the window to steady it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got it, man. You got it.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you afraid to drive behind?
Hi, when I'm on the highway, I will totally avoid those huge trucks that are transporting cars.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so scared that they're going to fall off and they didn't hook them up right with the chains and some car is going to come barreling down at me.
The one that's most terrifying is the one that's over the cabin that's like right in the front, because that one is bouncing and you watch it bounce and you're like, there is no way that one's not going to go flying off like on a trampoline.
I think if the top one goes, I think multiple go. It's a domino effect.
They're all going to go.
Yes.
You've got an 8-car, 10-car exit.
I don't know. It sounds scary. You're right.
What's that one thing that whenever you're traveling at high speeds on the highway, expressway, you are terrified? 1-800-330-9999. Tana Raven.
Hi, I am afraid to drive behind produce trucks because I literally was driving on 95 home from a Yankees game several years ago, and we were behind a produce truck, and the back doors open, and everything came rolling out all over the highway.
I mean, I have to say it. To drive by fruiting.
Stop it. Did you have your friend call? Are you Anna's friend? Don't call. Don't call here again, ma'am. All right? If she didn't put you up to this, don't you do this again.
Don't you do it. How do you not? You have to.
Anna and Raven, what are you afraid to drive behind on the highway?
When I'm on a motorcycle, it's those carriers for livestock that are open air that the stuff comes flying out.
Yes.
And when I'm in a car, it's those big, huge trailers carrying like those 8-foot diameter steel pipes that are strapped on, stacked like just like if the strap breaks, they're going to roll off and crash.
So where I am, like we're near a jet manufacturer, like a jet engine manufacturing area. And so from time to time, there's these huge turbine parts that are on these flatbeds there. And you're right. It's like a 4-inch strap holding the thing down. And in the wind, it's moving like crazy. And you know it will just take everybody's head off if it comes off of that thing.
How about the ones that carry the horses when you look in and you're all excited because you see horses, or the chickens, the ones that have all the chickens?
Oh, the chicken one smells terrible.
Right. But it's so weird to see like a truck with 7,000 chickens on it.
Yeah, it's dinner.
On 80 miles an hour, you see the little brown dots hitting your screen, the windshield on your motorcycle. You know what that is.
Yes, you do. You do. Thank you for the call.
And the visual.
I think I'd rather be hit by a jet.
Right. Yep. And on Raven, what are you afraid to drive behind?
Hi. So I was behind a truck that was carrying a mattress, and the mattress was wiggling around, and I was like, God, this guy's going to lose his mattress. So I pulled to the side to get away from him, and the mattress actually fell off his truck, hit the front of my car, went flying off my car, and landed in the grass.
See, wow. Now everybody thinks it was your mattress. Last touch you.
I actually also saw a mattress fly off a car one time, and like I dodged it. And I remember thinking that mattress doesn't look secure, and it wasn't. Like, there should be laws. You can't put a mattress on your roof. You can't. I don't care how strong you think your bungee is.
I'll tell you what. When the mattress comes off, I keep driving. I don't stop at that
point. I'm not going to help you with your mattress.
No, forget it. That's it.
That thing probably has bed bugs. Anna and Raven, what are you afraid to drive behind?
Well, other people in a pickup truck with debris in the box in the back of it that flies out.
God, I can't stand the guy who loads his truck up with things on purpose. The grass clippings, the leaves or whatever, and then just drives around the neighborhood instead of actually going to the dump or covering it or whatever. So there's just leaves everywhere hitting my car if I'm driving a car or two behind you. I can't stand that guy.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you afraid to drive behind?
Gas tanker trucks or anything carrying chemicals on the highway. I mean, I always immediately get away from driving behind them. I always envision them just exploding.
Oh, my gosh.
The gas trucks don't really scare me, but it's the nitrogen ones that freak me out. Ever since Terminator 2, man, I just feel like one of those things is going to crack open and we're all going to freeze. And then somebody's going to come along and like kick it, or like a seagull will land on my shoulder and I'll shatter into a million pieces.
I don't worry so much about the chemical ones. My bigger concern is the cement ones, like the ones that are constantly rolling, because I always wonder who's in there. Is there somebody in there?
Stuck in there.
Somebody stuck in the cement roller. I feel like there's always a story behind that or something that's in there.
Jimmy Hoffa found him.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Alex and Tammy. Tammy, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hi. So I've been married to my husband for 6 years, and we're currently getting a divorce. And we have two cats, and I love them so much. I really want to be with them, and I think they should go together, and I want to take them. And he thinks that he should get one of them.
How did you guys get the cats? Did you get the cats together at the same time? Were they one of your cats versus the others before you guys got together?
No, we adopted them together, but I've taken care of them. They've grown up together. They love each other. We really should split them up.
Alex, do you think it would be okay if you split up the cats? Like, are they very bonded?
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to split them up, then I should get both of them, because they've only known this house. I'm staying here. She's going. You know what I mean? So if she don't want to give me salt, then she got to give me salt and pepper. So those are their names, salt and pepper.
I see. So you think that you should either get both of them if you're not going to get one because you're staying at the home.
It's an interesting point.
The thing,
as well.
If you move, you're putting them through more trauma. They got to get used to a new house and all that sort of stuff. So everything is here. Just leave it be.
It's an interesting point.
It is an interesting point. Listen, the world has got no shortage of cats. I mean, certainly you could go and adopt another pair of cats, and that would be great for the cats, I'm sure. But you think that they need to stay in that house then, Alex?
Absolutely. Why would you put them through any more trauma? You want to separate them. And then you want to move them to someplace else. Like, no, just be gone and let them be here.
Tammy, do you think that Alex is trying to be spiteful? Or do you think he truly loves the cats as well?
No, he's trying to be spiteful because I didn't want to separate them. He originally wanted to separate them. I said, okay, I'll take the cats. We're going to be civil. And then he was like, well, you can't take both cats. I'll take one. If you're already thinking with the mindset you want to take one, you don't want both of them. You're just trying to upset me.
If you want to leave, then leave. Leave. You know what I mean?
And I'm going to leave and take the cats.
What we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Alex. If you're staying in your home and it's all the cats have ever known, and you want the cats with you, then that's where they should stay. Or
you don't even clean up the litter. Like, I don't understand. You don't even like cleaning the litter. Why do you want them? You're just trying to hurt me.
That's not true.
Okay, I can see
why
this isn't
true.
Working out. All right.
No, you don't. You never freaking clean the thing. I'm always the
one. All right.
All right, guys.
And, you know, Alex, some people may agree with you that splitting them up is not the worst idea in the world. You know, each of you get one. It seems like each of you get a cat, you move on with your life. They'll adapt and they'll figure it out.
Oh, okay. So you and your parents divorced. So you and your sister split up.
Okay. So, Alex, I know you're very riled up. I clearly love these cats. But I think splitting up children and splitting up cats is a little bit different, although I do enjoy that point. Tammy, they may see your side too. If you love the cats and you want to take them both, then they should go with you if you're taking care of them, even though he doesn't seem to agree with it. I don't know how anyone's going to vote on this.
Well, I mean, how do you consider one person's love for the cats versus the other? I mean, either the cats are going or they're staying. That's it. Whose side are you on?
Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to
say? I'm riled up now.
Definitely.
Alex, you in?
Yeah.
Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Tammy and Alex are breaking up, getting a divorce. And Tammy would like to take her cats. Here's the problem, though. Alex, not on board with that at all. There's two of them.
Yeah, he says, listen, we got the cats together. You don't even care about these cats. You don't clean up after the cats, anything like that. If anything, you get to take one of the cats. And he doesn't think that she should even do that. This is the only house they've ever known. I'm staying in the house. You're leaving the house. Just leave the cats here.
What do you think? He also sounded very angry. 1-800-330.
Divorces get ugly.
Yep. 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Hi. I'm kind of on her side because you can hear it in their tone and everything that she's the one leaving and he's upset by it. So they should just split the cats up, be done with it. They each, you know, take care of their own and move on.
Thank you for the call. But is that really fair to the cats to split them up?
That's right.
I mean, I've never had bonded pets before, so I'm not really sure how that works. But to me, it just seems very unfair. It's like taking twins and saying, okay, one of you goes with one mom and one of you goes with dad.
Well, I mean, I know that they can have health problems and stress-wise, it's not good for them, too, if they get separated. I mean, if they're going to separate the cats, at least get another cat. Now we got cats all over the place.
There's so many cats. All right, whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Tammy and Alex are getting a divorce after 6 years, and they have two kitties that they adopted together. And of course, they both want the cats. Tammy says that she loves the cats more and they should go with her.
Alex disagrees with that. He says, I take care of these cats. I clean the litter box. If anything, you want to take one of the cats, you take one of the cats. But you shouldn't separate them. They should both stay here because this is the only house they've ever known.
Whose side are you on this morning? It's a couple's court with Anna and Raven. 1-800-330-9999.
I am on her side. Let me tell you, I hear his voice and I wouldn't want to be married to him, go to bed with him and wake up the next morning and have breakfast with or without the cat.
You wouldn't want to be a cat on his lap. I get it.
Yeah. She doesn't even want to eat pancakes with that guy. Not even if there's bacon. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Wife side. She sounded more concerned about the cats and less concerned about hurting her ex. He sounded just angry. So it sounded like he's using them as just a way to hurt her.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side or the soon-to-be ex-husband's side. I say he keeps both cats, though. Don't separate them. They both stay in the house.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tammy, our audience agreed with you this morning. Those kitties are going to go with you to the new home. They felt like, you know, splitting them up isn't the way to go.
Over my dead body.
Yeah, okay. Okay, you're just angry and trying to keep the cats to make me upset. I'm so excited that the audience agreed with me and they get to go with me. They'll be happier.
Alex, these situations are never easy, obviously, but there's another pair of cats out there that would love to be, you know, adopted by you that will fit right in at that home there. And, you know, at least you know that she's not threatening of the animals or anything like that. You know that she's a good mom to the cats. While it's not fun today, I'm sure it's going to be all right.
If the audience the text that I've seen on her phone, they would probably try to put me in. It is what it is. Whatever.
All right. You got a problem, too. Send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Kelly, $1,500 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Kelly.
All right.
Thank you.
Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play, Kelly?
Yes, I am.
Number 1, Britney Spears announced her engagement to Sam Asghari. They met on the set of which one of her 2016 music videos?
Slumber Party.
Number 2, Apple TV Plus is reviving the children's show Yo Gabba Gabba. What late hip-hop legend was a regular on the series?
I don't know.
Number 3, the celebrity show and website TMZ has been sold by Warner Brothers and is now owned by Fox. What does TMZ stand for?
30 Mile Zone.
Number 4, Anna Wintour famously curates the Met Gala, which happened last night. She is the editor-in-chief of what publication?
Vogue.
Number 5, movies that had their original ending scrapped includes Pretty in Pink, The Lion King, and this movie that ended with Elle Woods proving her client's innocence by pointing out that you can't wet your hair within 24 hours of having a perm. What movie was that?
Legally Blonde.
Oh my gosh, Kelly, I wish you got number 2. This would have been a slam dunk for you. Let me wave him back in.
Yo.
All right, Kelly got 4 out of 5.
Okay, that's pretty impressive, Kelly. Let's see how I do.
Okay, number 1. Britney Spears announced her engagement to Sam Asghari. They met on the set of which one of her 2016 music videos?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Slumber Party. Oh, you might have this, Kelly.
I mean, who would even know that? I don't know that song.
Okay, number two, Apple TV Plus is reviving the children's show Yo Gabba Gabba. What late hip-hop legend was a regular on the series?
Biz Markie.
Yes, Biz Markie. Kill it. I saw Biz Markie and Yo Gabba Gabba at Radio City Music Hall when Hayden, my oldest, was young, and it was very popular.
Yeah.
And they had people lining up to sit on Biz Markie's lap like he was Santa Claus. And it was the strangest thing. And I wondered, I'm like, did Biz Markie have to sign off in his contract to have kids sit on his lap while he, like, dropped beats?
I mean, my only question is, did you get a photo on his lap?
No, I wasn't going to let Hayden go sit on his lap.
I said you. Did you?
I mean, I don't know. I would have been the only mom. Should have. Number three, the celebrity show-in website TMZ has been sold to Warner Brothers and is now owned by Fox.
Mm-hmm.
What does TMZ stand for?
30 Mile Zone.
I didn't know that until this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody seems to know that except for me. And 30 Mile Zone is like outside of L.A. Hollywood where they would have all the restrictions for the movies.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Number four, Anna Wintour famously curates the Met Gala. She's the editor-in-chief of what publication?
Vogue, right?
Yep. All right, you need this last one to tie Kelly, otherwise she wins $1,500.
Uh-huh.
Movies that had their original ending scrapped include Pretty in Pink, The Lion King, and this movie that ended with Elle Woods proving her client's innocence by pointing out that you can't wet your hair within 24 hours of having a perm.
Legally Blonde.
Ah, Kelly, I'm sorry. He tied you a four. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Kelly, and I can't beat Raven.
Thanks, Kelly. Hold on the line. Oh, gosh, that was close. If she just had number two.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. And just like that, I'm back to my winning ways.
All right, $1,600 tomorrow, same time.